Hey there, welcome to the Five by the Fire podcast. My name's Armand Sheffy, aka Pastor Fury, your host and the executive director of the Unshackled Network, a family of missionaries innovating ways to help those in the shadows of Lake County and beyond experience freedom in Jesus. And in this daily podcast, we take a look at a passage from the day's reading in the McShane Reading Plan, and we dive in for about 5 to 7 minutes. So why don't you go ahead, grab a cup of coffee, cozy up like we're by the fire, and let's chat. This is Five by the Fire. Today we read Exodus 3, Luke 6, Job 20, and 1 Corinthians 7. And today in Exodus, God appears to Moses in what we come to know as a very consistent symbol of God's presence, fire. He led his wandering Israelites as a fire by night. Right, Isaiah says that the light of Israel shall be a flaming fire. In a vision that Abraham has early on, we see the smoking lamp and the blazing furnace. John the Baptist says folks will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then when the Holy Spirit falls at Pentecost, tongues of fire are seen upon each of the disciples gathered. The same understanding of fire is what motivated the name of this podcast. God is the fire of Five by the Fire. So when we read Moses' moment on the mountain, we, just like Moses, are drawn closer by God, by the fire, and are compelled to interrupt our mundane world, our mundanity, and gaze upon the miraculous, a fire that burns bright but does not destroy that which it burns. What is being burned but not consumed here? It's a simple bush. God chose a little bush to interrupt history and call a broken man who's been in hiding. And he does it on Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. There's debate on whether Horeb and Sinai are synonymous or if Horeb describes the mountainous region and Sinai was referring to this peak or actually vice versa. But nevertheless, high, appearingly heaven-bound mountains were often considered as sacred by ancient peoples of those lands. And the very name Sinai actually suggests that it's likely derived from sin. Now, no relation to the English word sin, but likely derived from the name Sin of the moon god in Babylonian. And Horeb, if it's actually a Semitic word, is defined as dry land or desolation. So imagine this, in a land that's dry and desolate, on a mountain that was once claimed by evil idolatry, God now decides that he can even use one who has committed the most vile of sins we saw in the last chapter of murder and save an entire people. When God's spirit is on it, people take notice and change happens. But don't be surprised that he might use little old broken you. Be more surprised if you suddenly think you've gotten yourself to a place where you are now a worthy candidate for his power. But I digress. Continuing from yesterday's understanding, we now see that God speaks to Moses and he says, I've seen their affliction. I've heard their cry. I know their pain and I've come to deliver them. But what does his deliverance look like? Y'all, it looks like Moses. I will send you, he says. I will send you that you may bring my people out. Here's what we must understand, especially those like me who are increasingly burning for justice, burning for an end to oppressive systems like that of white supremacy, seeking a greater alignment of our own hearts as well as our cities, our states, our country with God's ways. But we got to get this right. The reality is, it's not our land. The people suffering the pangs of injustice are not our people. It's all God's. They're all God's. We do not go and fix the world. We do not go and make change. We do not go and destroy oppressive systems. We are sent. If we do not first and foremost operate from a place of sentness, we are nothing more than the angry Moses seen prior striking down the oppressor Egyptian. We must be sent ones, responding to the call of God, the great missionary. God is constantly sending his people to rescue his people. Jesus was sent by the Father. But before he can send you, before he can send me, he must first call us. If Moses wasn't called by God, he couldn't be sent by God. If he was never sent by God, he would never have been able to be used by God to demonstrate God's might. And let's still remember that God tells Moses that, yes, it is the mighty hand that would compel. But do not believe that it is your or my mighty hand. It's God's mighty hand that he stretches out to bring about the freedom of his people. So the question that we need to contemplate today is, have you seen his fire? Have you turned your gaze and set your eyes upon him and then heard his call on your life? If we go without him sending, we walk into a war blindly and without our power, or into dark without the flame. Let God call and send before you just rush to go. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that while we have so much passion about things to be different, they in no way eclipse the passion that you have. The passion that put Jesus on the cross, the passion that called him down from his throne and sent him into our world for a great rescue mission. Lord God, I pray that you would be showing your flame, showing yourself in a blazing fire to each of your people. Lord, that you'd be calling them first and foremost to you and a relationship with you, and that you would be helping us to hear you sending us. Hear your voice as you send us into specific realms for specific purposes with your power, with your Spirit's anointing to do your work. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you guys, I hope that you recognize that God is still calling. God is still sending. And I know he's calling and sending some of you even as we speak. Head on over to thefivebythefire.org. Check out the reading plan there. Leave a comment. You know the drill. Subscribe, rate, and share. And I'll see you back here tomorrow on 5 by the Fire. Be blessed and be a blessing.